This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
When we come back from break and I've got the giggles. Got to rein it in. Stormy Buonantony, Jonathan Von Tobel with you back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. One more hour to go, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Oh, sorry. I thought that you're looking at me very intently, and so I thought
well,
that
we
maybe
had a
you had
show
a
meeting where I was
go.
Told I had to look at you more, so that's what I'm doing.
We did?
Yeah.
I thought it was like, don't look down at your computer as much.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think it was look at me.
I thought it was look at you. Okay. Never mind.
That said, a lot to get to over of the next hour. We do have Call Me Crazy Butt coming up in about 15 minutes. We also have some strong NBA opinions coming from our guy, JVT, specifically looking at one awards market where we do not understand how this guy is still available at the number that he is. What I want to start with, though, here real quickly, for our audience that has been joining us the last couple weeks, we have talked a lot about a certain alcoholic beverage, liqueur of sorts, called Malort, that is, I guess, famous in Chicago. I had never heard of it before, but look at how much of this bottle has been taken down, for the record. Not today.
No, not today.
But after we got off the air yesterday, we finally tried it. It is a...
Well, you did.
Chicago staple.
I tried it a lot.
That apparently anytime you go out to Chicago, you got to try this. This whole conversation started because of the new drink at Bears games, like the hot chocolate with Malort. What else is in it?
Amaretto.
Amaretto, toasted marshmallow on top, all of the stuff. And everyone said that this is disgusting. Even their branding for this is that it's really, really bad.
These pants aren't going to bleep themselves.
What?
That's a tagline. It's like from
what
one
else,
of the
what else was it? Don't enjoy responsibly was one. There were a few really good ones. That said, what is your verdict?
Oh, I mean, I think a lot of you oversold this. It's not good. It's not good. But 100%, it's not as bad as I was being told it was. It's very bitter. I took two shots. I posted it up on X if you wanted to go and look at my reaction to it for the first time. I'm not going to buy another bottle. And probably taking it down with shots is not the way to go. I can understand why it would be good if you're mixing it with certain things. This with the amaretto and the hot chocolate, I can kind of understand why maybe all of that paired together would be pretty good. But, yeah, it's definitely... not great tasting, 100%.
I'm somebody, when I drink hard liquor, I often get kind of like the heebie-jeebies body shake type of thing.
Yeah.
And like if I have too strong of a margarita even, you see me get the ooh, you know? I didn't do it with that, but immediately after it was consumed, it's the aftertaste that sits in your mouth that makes it bad.
Yes,
it actively gets worse as it sits in your mouth. So like not a fan of the overall flavor profile. But going down, it didn't like hurt me, you know, sometimes when you take a shot of something, you're like, okay, no, thank you. I'm good. I'll move on. I didn't feel that kind of like the instant pain. It was just the grossness after.
Correct.
All right. That said, let's get into Monday Night Football, shall we?
Let's
because we have, the Rams and Falcons going head to head out there in Atlanta. Rams laying 7.5, depending on where you look, total 49.5. And it's just a matter of kind of how you see motivation in this one from Los Angeles in terms of what team really is going to show up. I guess we talked about this earlier. Atlanta is eliminated from the playoffs, but they've won back-to-back games. They're looking better with Kirk Cousins operating that offense. The Rams, meanwhile, just kind of playing for seeding at this point, with the 5 seed being a very coveted spot in that you would take the winner of the NFC South, which is just, you know, the laughing stock of a division, it seems, this year.
Yes, indeed it does. Look, I don't really have like anything entirely strong on the game overall. I kind of agree with where the market's going in that. Let's just take some set. Let's take 8. Let's take 7.5. Let's drive this down and let's see where this is going to go. Kirk Cousins has played well his last two games, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. The big time throws have been there. You know, the throws that are farther downfield into tighter windows. He's looked more comfortable. He's using pieces like Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson in the passing game a lot more. This does seem like a team that is slightly improving under Kirk Cousins when it comes to this offense. And we have seen at times that Stafford's defense has kind of let him down. Obviously, the special teams were an issue with Rashid Shaheed returning a punt return for a touchdown. They had the Seahawks a touchdown drive that was just 2 plays, both explosive plays that got them into the end zone that ultimately got to that 2-point conversion. I think that if you're believing which I am in like the general trajectory of this improvement in Atlanta's offense, I think that it makes a lot of sense. And now especially, too, with the wind out of the sails for Stafford and the Rams. They know they've been boxed out in the division. They know they're not going to get a top seed. There's motivation to get a better seed now in the NFC. Again, I think a lot of the conversations in that locker room and in that, you know, in the executive spot would be, hey, we want to play the NFC South team, whoever it is, even the Panthers who beat us. But I think you're probably grabbing that 8.5, or excuse me, that 8, 7.5 and feeling pretty comfortable with it, like the market has.
I did think this was kind of an interesting nugget that came from ESPN Sports and Information Group, that as the Rams are currently your Super Bowl favorite still, should they be the Super Bowl favorites entering the postseason, they'd be the first team since 1977 to enter the playoffs as favorites to win it all, despite not winning their division. Yeah. So a little bit of an interesting wrinkle there with just how competitive and good the NFC West has been. That said, there were a few different angles you were looking at from a prop perspective tonight.
Okay. What I think is fascinating. So there's a lot. Okay. We first have to talk about Puka Nacua. So Devontae Adams goes down and he's doubtful for this game. The expectation is that he's not going to play. This is wild. What we have seen from Puka Nacua, his last three games, his last three games, 28 receptions, 573 yards and 4 touchdowns. I put it in this perspective. Over his last three games, Nacua, who for the season has 114 receptions, 1,592 yards, and 8 touchdowns, 24% of his receptions on the year, 36% of his receiving yards, and half of his touchdowns have come over the last three games. Mm-hmm. He's been insane. Why in the world, with Adams now down, would we not expect him to just get every target in the world? Now, I don't know if I want to go over 106.5 receiving yards. But 7.5 receptions at -148, it's a high number. But given the target rate, the target share, and now with Adams out, why in the world would this change for him?
So it's funny because, and I teed this up earlier when we were talking about the game, last week we were having the conversation about, okay, with Devontae Adams out, who ultimately is going to become the beneficiary outside of Puka Nacua? We know Nacua is going to get his, but who else? Well, Puka really got his. Like, I don't know why we were even looking elsewhere, because when all was said and done in that game last week, 12 catches on 16 targets, 225 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And you did the compilation of stats there just to even sum it down that much more for the last three games. 7-plus catches in all of them, 160-plus yards in all of them as well. Three straight games, he has just been on an absolute tear. So I would not hate on anybody who wanted to continue to buy in on this, because he has been the go-to guy without Devontae Adams available.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because it's a big number, but man, that has been pretty much this whole offense. The flip side of this is for Atlanta, the other thing I think you were maybe looking at is if you look at since Kirk Cousins has taken over, now the fly in the ointment has, of course, been London. What's up?
I was just going to say, I looked at our Opta AI prop projector, and the receiving yard still has him going over. Really? Has him at 118.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to if you're projecting it, given what his workload has been like. Yeah. But I think the interesting angle here is going to be now, with one game under his belt, the reintroduction of London to this offense and what that looks like for Kirk Cousins' targets. Mm-hmm. Even in the somewhat limited snaps that he played in, he was still tied for second in targets last week against Arizona. And now here again, Kyle Pitts, as you mentioned sarcastically in the first hour, has come back to life, and he is getting a boatload of targets here. And now, too, so is Bijan Robinson. But I guess the question I would ask you is, if we're assuming, you know, higher rate of targets and a bigger workload for Drake London, who would suffer more, Kyle Pitts or Bijan Robinson? And I think it's Kyle Pitts, is it not?
Yes, I would agree.
So I thought Bijan Robinson, his reception prop is sitting at about 4.5. I thought that was something maybe potentially worth looking at. I think Robinson out of the backfield, the Rams do have a tendency to give up targets out of the backfield to these backs as well. And I think that might be something worth looking at. Because, again, as we've talked about a lot when we talk about player props, if I'm just going receptions, I just need the volume that I'm expecting. And then whatever yardage comes after that, that's fine, be what it may. But I just need the volume of targets, and I feel like Robinson's going to get those.
Looking through the last four games for Bijan Robinson, against the Jets, he goes for 142 on the ground, 51 through the air. Against Seattle, 86 on the ground. Didn't have a good receiving day that day. But the next two, against the Bucs, 93 on the ground, 82 through the air. Arizona, 76 on the ground, 92 through the air. He is, I make the comp often, their Christian McCaffrey. right? He is.
Or is Christian McCaffrey their Bijan Robinson?
I don't think that would be the case. Would you argue it that way?
No.
I don't think so.
Such a fan,
I don't think so. Well, sorry, and I know I always go off on 49ers tangents, and I apologize for it, but, I mean, if you were to tell me this 49ers team, of all of the players to stay healthy this year, would be Christian McCaffrey, wild to think about. But, no, like, what Bijan does is special for this offense, and so I think especially with the way that his workload through the air has been, I really like that angle tonight.
Your yards or receptions?
Yards or receptions. Okay. I'm partial to receptions, though. I think those are
sure.
Those have tended to be more successful.
I mean, yeah, we're pretty much in agreement there.
Anything else you like tonight?
I mean, those are the only ones. I mean, I guess like we've talked about.
Do you look at anything with Stafford just because of the numbers and the volume he's had lately and in pursuit of his first MVP?
Not entirely. I don't think that they care about that. I think that.
Well, if you think Nacua is going to cook,
yeah.
Obviously you're thinking that Nakuka? Stafford's going to have a good day too.
Does that work? Yeah, I mean, you could. I just, you know, in the sense of like the MVP, I think Vrabel and the Patriots clearly are chasing that. I think Stafford and McVay, kind of a more grizzled group, are like, we got more important things. So we're going to win this game. We're going to win it however we need to win it, and let's move on from that standpoint. I don't know if I would be running to the window for anything like that, projecting it. I think I feel more comfortable looking at Atlanta. Because the other part, too, is if the market is right in where this thing is getting priced, you know, the whole cliche, negative game state, throwing the ball a little bit more, I think that would just help a guy like Bijan Robinson go over a number like this, which he hasn't, you know, what is it, 3 out of the last 4 or whatever it is.
The only thing I'll say here as we close this out on Stafford, the prop sitting at 269.5 for his yards. He does have 3 straight games with 280-plus. 3 straight games with 100-plus rating. The Rams offense has scored 37-plus in all 3 of those games, 28-plus their last 5. The loss against Seattle, he had 457, 3 touchdowns. To give you some context for how good he's been, he's one of the few quarterbacks this year who is consistently priced at over 2.5 touchdowns instead of 1.5 like everyone else is. On that note, we got to step aside. More Money Moves rolling along here. Call me crazy, but coming up after this.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Put on your tinfoil hats.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
The whole world gone crazy.
For Call Me Crazy, but.
All right, we're jumping right in here as we welcome you back to Money Moves. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Time to overreact, or some might say properly react. Don't call me crazy, but we got some takes, opinions, and takeaways from this past weekend. So I'm going to start in the NFC South, JBT. Call me crazy, but does anybody want to win this division every week? And granted, I expected the Panthers to lose yesterday, but it's how they embarrass themselves in the loss. It's the fact that they can't string together back-to-back wins to save their life. The last time they won 2 in a row was back in week 7. Bucks were a decent favorite against Miami. They need to rally just to lose and have dropped 7 of their last 8 games. They haven't covered in 8 straight weeks. And if they win on Saturday, and they're field goal favorites to do so, they'll win the NFC South with a losing record. This division is just brutal to watch every single week, yet we put ourselves through it. Why?
I'll be honest. I don't know why you were kind of mad about this yesterday, too. I don't know why you're upset about the Panthers game yesterday.
It all stems from the start of the third quarter. That's where all of my anger from yesterday comes from. After you get the interception on Sam Darnold and have all this momentum on your side, and then Chuba Hubbard coughs it up, and it was the beginning of the end.
I mean, I don't know. It's like if Wyatt were to approach Sofia Vergara and like ask her for a date, we know he's going to get shot down. He should be proud of himself that he took the shot.
That's the Panthers against Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
Please.
It's the best team in the NFC.
Please. They are? I thought the Rams were. You just told me the Rams were.
Are you? Well, I mean, from a seeding
standpoint.
The Rams
by which the Panthers beat. How do you beat the Panthers and how do you beat the Rams and the Packers? Yeah. You get swept by the Saints and are just like in the position that you're in. It's just crazy.
Are you offended at the comp that Wyatt is the Panthers or more offended that the Seahawks
think Wyatt should
be?
I think Wyatt should be more offended than anybody in this whole thing. Wyatt, I'm so sorry.
They're a competent group.
I can't believe he would do this to you.
They're a competent group that I've been cheering for. That's Wyatt. Yeah, there you go. He's very confident in what he does.
Go ahead.
All right, let's see. This is more of a conversation starter than anything else. Not my favorite one that I used out in Omaha. Call me crazy, but you should still need a good offense to win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, you look at some of these teams that are at the top of the standing. Some of the teams that we expect to be the best of the best. We just talked about one of them. The Seahawks offense sucks. It's terrible. They might win the NFC. The Broncos offense has been all over the place. They might be the best team in the AFC.
The Houston Texans, best defense in the National Football League. But what are they going to do offensively?
Right. I watched them average 4.2 yards per play against the Raiders. And yet we seem to, at least this year, you know, every year kind of has the theme when you see these teams shift identities. This year does maybe seem to be the year of the defense. Where you look at across the board, who are some of the more higher power rated teams in the National Football League? Hell, the Eagles will throw them in the mix as well. These are kind of the teams that we seem to be believing in a little bit more, but some of their offenses are so bad at times.
But what's sad is, conversely, some of these teams that have the best offenses don't have anything to offer on defense. Why? It feels a little bit weird to me that there is not a powerhouse team this year that really feels like they have the complementary football on both sides.
And I'll add to that, not only does it feel, you know, these good offensive teams are also out of bounds because they have bad defenses, we have shifted our thought process on them. If I were to ask people to make a list of the teams that are in the playoffs that you don't think are going to win, I think teams like the 49ers, like the Chicago Bears, like they were all be in that mix. And yet a few years ago, and still kind of the same thing, but when offense was it, I think you probably would have shifted the other way. Mm-hmm. But right now, this year, it seems to be that your defense is going to be able to carry you forward. It's just, it's a weird dynamic. There's not really like a betting aspect to it, but it does seem that all these higher power rated teams, we've done our market power ratings every week, the ones that are at the top are the ones that can play defense and not the offense.
I don't think you're crazy. Call me crazy, but I don't mind the Bills going for two. I understand the argument of the Eagles offense not really being able to do anything in the second half, and you, meanwhile, are going up and down the field. But if you have already had a blocked extra point, something the Eagles, by the way, have been really good at this year, it's not a guarantee, and you have one of the best, if not the best, red zone quarterbacks in the NFL, why don't you just go for it? And the play worked. I think that's something, too, that isn't getting enough attention. The play worked. Khalil Shakir was right there. Josh Allen just missed.
This is where I think you need to have more influence from me, okay? It's not, call me crazy, but I didn't mind that the Buffalo, no. Call me crazy. The Bills should have gone for two. You're all idiots. That's what you're supposed to do. I saw tweets of like, they had the momentum. Momentum doesn't exist. You know what does? Scores. Points. You got to go and get those to win the freaking games. Who cares that the Bills were part of the teams that got the new playoff rules, or excuse me, the postseason overtime rules instituted? Who cares about that? You got nothing going on. You need to win the game. Your offense has done bunk all game long. You know what you need? You need 2 yards. And guess what? You could have got them, like you said, if the throw was on target.
That's why I say, like, the play was there. So I like the call. I like going for the win in that moment.
Right. So it's not you don't mind. They should have. This is what you're supposed to do.
The Bills did the right thing.
There we go.
Okay, next for you.
All right, you call me crazy, but I can't wait for the NFL season to be over. I'm ready.
Oh, what?
I'm ready for this.
You're crazy. Why?
I'm ready. I'm ready to see.
I think this year's gone by super fast to begin with.
It is, but I also like, man, I'm ready to see who's going to win this thing. I'm ready to see, like, how this postseason is going to play out.
Way to put it.
Hold on. I'm also ready for some basketball, though, man. Conference play starts tomorrow in earnest for a lot of these college basketball teams. We get a full slate Mountain West hoop starting like 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Can you feel it in the air? Aren't you excited for just grinding through some West Coast Conference basketball at like 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night? You're not excited for this? You're not ready for college basketball? You're not ready to watch the New Jersey Devils hit the road to take on Edmonton in a ridiculous second leg of a back-to-back against the Oilers and like actually care about the grind of a regular season? Aren't you ready for these other sports?
Can both things not be true?
Yes.
Can you not be excited about college basketball and the NHL and the NBA and still want to take out every ounce of juice there is from the NFL season because we're going to miss these freaking days when we don't have them in the dog days of summer when all we have is day baseball?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you been doing that?
Have I been doing what?
Have you been doing both? Have you been grinding through the regular season the way that you would without the NFL while also enjoying the other sports?
Not to the same extent.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get this out of here. Let's get this started.
No. What's great about playoffs is you have so much less inventory, but they're better games, higher quality, more time to still dedicate to the other stuff because it's not full card every single week.
I just got done with a week where Titans Saints was one of the best games on the board. I don't think that these games have been thrilling, to say the least.
It's posted. We got one more week before the playoffs when the field is narrowed and we have the better competition. What are you talking about?
There we go.
You're crazy.
She's getting fired up.
You're crazy. Okay, here's my last one. And this is not a new take. This is something that we've been talking about on the show all year long and especially the last couple weeks. But I'm putting my foot down on this one. Call me crazy, but Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the year, period. Last night was just further evidence for me that I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is getting nearly enough love and flowers as he deserves for what this entire team has overcome from an injury perspective, especially considering the state that this team was in a year ago, where they are a 6-win team and everything was derailed. No Nick Bosa, no Fred Warner. Brock Purdy, your starting quarterback, misses half of the season. And you see how different, like granted, Mac Jones did a great job keeping this team above water offensively. But since Brock Purdy has been back, I gave you the stat earlier, 6-0, averaging more than 37.5 points per game since he's come back from the toe. They've gotten the complement of wide receivers. Even George Kittle has been down. The wide receiver room was decimated to begin the season. They have overcome everything you could ask a team to overcome. Also, while now being in position for the freaking one seed in the NFC this weekend. I think all the credit in the world for Vrabel and the Patriots and all that they have done, but I think what the 49ers have done is more special.
I agree. You said it all.
What's got anything else to close us out?
We should talk about this really quickly. I don't even think this is a call me crazy. The market is still sleeping on Keontae George's chances
Let's
to win
go.
Most improved. We have to bring this up. We didn't
Add
really talk about
account.
It last week at length. Keontae George continues to play at an insanely high level right now. I'm going to read you a tweet for a guy who is now 14-1 to win most improved player. I remain totally blown away by Keontae George's improvement on the ball this year. This is your most improved player league-wide for sure. He couldn't get away from anyone last year, and now it's all he can do. Wildly impressive leap. Did it again over the weekend. By the way, that was Sam Bassina, who actually is a guy who talks to voters and at times has voted for the awards. George has been incredible. He's on this stretch now of, I believe it is, 7 straight games with at least 20 points. He's improved his scoring. He's improved his facilitating. He's improved his shooting. This dude should be the favorite to win most improved. Some spots have moved. Others have not. He is going to win this award.
Stay healthy, buddy. You guys talked me into it the other day, and we added it to the account. I'm ready.
Fresh glass of milk.
Keontae George. Oh, yeah. You have you told people about your new cover photo?
Fresh glass of milk. Man, I love Keontae.
M-I-L-K. That's nailed right. it. Remember, everybody, as well, as we get set to kick off the new year, all of our content is coming at you, and we're going to have a full day of awesome programming for you on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So come join us December 31st, starting with VSiN by the Books at 7 a.m. We're going to roll through a numbers game, prop points, money moves with JVT, follow the money, VSiN primetime, and cashing out deep into the night. So as you're counting down to 2026 and kicking off the new year, VSiN is going to be right there with you with real-time betting coverage across the college football playoff, National Football League, NBA, and so much more. Spend your new year with VSiN, the non-stop home for sports bettors. Speaking of the NBA, don't let the Charlotte Hornets get hot, my boy. Back-to-back wins, won 4 of their last 6. We're going to take the temperature of the Charlotte Hornets on the win-o-meter and a whole lot more coming up after this as we shift gears into a little NBA action.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And you haven't checked out Profit X yet. Now is the time. The number one sports prediction market has some of the best future pricing you're going to find on the college football playoff, national championship, Super Bowl. Plus, with a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use the promo code VSIN to get you started. That's V-S-I-N. Time to get into a little NBA here. And while we do have a full slate coming up in the association, JVT, also some news that according to ESPN's Tim McMahon, all signs point to Atlanta moving on from Trae Young ahead of the February 5th trade deadline, with the team, quote, indicating they're looking for an exit ramp on Young.
Yeah, so this is going to be a pretty interesting move here. And the dynamic has always just been about the team's performance with and without Trae Young. So let's set the table after this report comes out. Trae Young has played 10 games. For those who don't remember, he played the first few contests, got injured, was out for about 23 games, and now has since come back. In the 10 games in which Trae Young has played, the Hawks are 2-8 straight up, 2-7-1 against the spread. If you look at the numbers with Trae Young on the floor, they've been outscored by 6.8 points every 100 possessions. They give up 129.3 points per 100 possessions, which is the big one. Greatly improves their offense. I mean, I don't think that's a surprise if I had to tell you that. They go from averaging 113.6 points per 100 possessions to 122.5 with him on the floor. But when he has not played, Stormy, they're 13-10 straight up and against the spread. Not great, but guess what? Not six games under 500, just a little bit above. They've been outscored by just under a point per 100 possessions. And their defense, that's the big one here. Defensive rating again with Trae Young on the floor, 129.3. Defense without him on the floor, 114.6. That's almost a 15-point difference. 15 fewer points every 100 possessions, which Trae Young is not playing. So you look at where this team is at, the way Trae Young has played, and it seems like it makes some sense that maybe they would try to flip him at some point to wherever. I mean, that's kind of the question. There was a report earlier today that the Milwaukee Bucks have been really fighting to try to find some pieces to put around Giannis. And I laugh because one of the names that they sniffed around was Malik Monk, which I guess, like, Monk's a fine player. I don't think if you're Giannis, you're going, right, that's my guy. Yeah. And the same thing could be said for Trae Young, potentially. I don't know where ultimately he would end up, but it seems like the Hawks, who got off to a promising start, but as our own Zach Cohen would point out to you, was already sliding before Trae Young came back. I do think that we're heading toward this, and a lot of spots, if you look at some of the prediction markets and others, obviously we're very much heading in the direction of him potentially being dealt.
I think, especially though, based on what you just said about like the defensive issues that he has, so you need a team that can work around that and work with the price tag too, because there's $46 million as part of this contract that is layered into that as well, that can be willing to take on something like that.
Yeah, well, that's the big part about this that you're referring to here is Trae Young also has this option year that is coming up. It is a player option, 2026, 2027. Given his status and the way that the finances work now in the NBA with the apron and all of these things, he is going to take a $48.9 million player option. So if you're a team trading for him, you're taking him on knowing that you're at least for one more year going to be paying him near $50 million for that season. Makes it a little bit harder to kind of flip. Now, again, by the time next year comes around, he is an expiring, meaning that he'll be a free agent the next season. So sometimes those are fine. You'll take it, and then you'll have some book relief coming up in a year. Maybe a team like the Sacramento Kings, who like to just kind of collect baubles and bits and don't really put a team together, would be willing to take him on and flip him for a DeMontis Sabonis type or something like that. I know that that's one of Cohen's predictions that you can listen to on Harvard Handicappers today. But either way, I mean, we'll see. I don't think it makes them exponentially better that he's gone. As we rattled off the numbers, they were three games above 500 and still getting outscored every 100 possessions. So either way, big name could be on the move, and we'll see if it's somewhere of note.
Real quickly, did want to update you on the score of the Birmingham Bowl coming out. 13-7 right now, Georgia Southern up at the half, and it's been a weird game, at least just box score watching here. App State has a missed field goal, multiple interceptions, yet finds themselves just down six here at the half. So keeping tabs on that as we go. But to stick with the NBA, one other kind of fun thing that's been going on is we have been tracking the success, or what has been largely lack thereof, throughout the course of the season with the Charlotte Hornets. They've won back-to-back games. They've won four of their last six. 11 now for the season. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get in the wheelhouse where this season win total is feeling good. So we're going to keep track of this with a little thermometer throughout the course of the year.
So for a little thermometer, come on now. You're underselling it. Those who are fans of the Edge back in the day might remember the Bulls win-o-meter. Well, we're back. We have a Hornets win-o-meter. Our Charlotte Hornets now have 11 victories and are on their way. Now, here's the thing. We have included the number 30 at the top. We only need, what is it again? I always forget. 25?
We need 25 and a half. So 26.
26. We need 26.
The closing number, though, as this thing was bet up, was 27 and a half. So 28 is like the end number.
Well, it is not. So 28 is the end number for your father.
Correct.
Kelly Bidlin is invested in a 30-plus win
total.
Oh,
yeah, I forgot.
So we have 30 as our top number here because we here on Money Moves want everybody to be happy.
Yeah, we do.
So those are our markers that we're looking for. But as you have mentioned, this is not just a, hey, they won a game and we're happy about this. This team right now is starting to show the signs of the team that we expected. Con Knipple, luckily enough, got injured the other day playing Orlando. Actually, doesn't seem like it's that serious. Mm-hmm. He's day-to-day as opposed to maybe something a little bit more time-consuming in terms of the recovery.
He's been awesome.
Yep. Over, since December 5th. You want to rattle him off? You want to rattle off the numbers? I put him in the rundown. Come on. No? Okay. 5-4 straight up, 7-2 against the spread. The 11th best net rating in the NBA. 117.6 offensive rating, 10th best in the NBA, most importantly.
And how about that spread differential?
They've covered by 9.1 points per game, third best since December 5th. And I think what's even better is the players that you expected to perform here, LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, Con Knipple, on the floor together, 340 possessions according to Cleaning the Glass, an offensive rating of 130.3, and they've outscored opponents by 14.1 points per 100 possessions. Tonight, they take on the Milwaukee Bucks. They are 3.5-point underdogs, total 228.5. Wyatt, our wonderful producer, wanted some Milwaukee Bucks coverage. Well, here it is in the form of Charlotte Hornets coverage because we will be watching with bated breath to see if the Hornets can get this done tonight.
That is one of a handful of games that is coming up tonight. Any other that at least caught your attention from a spread total perspective that you were contemplating maybe some involvement tonight?
I mean, there is something that is worth pointing out here. Let me pull up to see where this number has gone. Let's go to Golden State and Brooklyn. So very quietly, as the Brooklyn Nets opened up 7, we're starting to see the market head in their direction. You want to talk about teams that have been red hot and really starting to turn things around. That would be the Brooklyn Nets, who all of a sudden find themselves as one of the best defensive teams in the NBA over a recent stretch and have been fighting tooth and nail in almost every single one of these games. Let's just look at the last 2 weeks for a team like Brooklyn. They have averaged, Stormy, only 111.8 points per 100 possessions over the last 2 weeks. Not really great. That's 26th in the NBA. They've covered by 15.5 points per game, and they are giving up 102.9 points per 100 possessions. The second best defensive team over the last 2 weeks, and you could expand this over a month, but just to give an example, is San Antonio, who has allowed 6 more points per 100 possessions than Brooklyn. They have really steered into the way they've been playing defensively. They're starting to rise up the season rankings as well. But this team has been really good defensively, and I think this is a sneaky tough spot for this Warriors team. We saw them get a win on Christmas against the Dallas Mavericks, and I know exactly, like, this team, I think, is obviously viewed in a sense of maybe being a squad that can have higher hopes because of the collection of talent they have, but I think it's going to be a tough matchup for them going out there. And I agree with the market coming in here and taking this off 7, and maybe we'll see this fly a little bit further toward Brooklyn. Some spots are already at 6 for this game. I think the Nets are going to give the Warriors all they can handle tonight, potentially.
You know what you're talking about? The Hawks earlier, I failed to mention the spread for them against OKC tonight. 17.5.
Yeah.
That is ugly. One of a handful of big spreads. We've also got the Rockets laying 14.5 against the Pacers today, as well as two of those big double-digit spreads. The Suns laying 10.5 in Washington, hosting the Wizards. Meanwhile, your shortest spread of the day, when all is said and done, a 1.5 with the Toronto Raptors getting points at home against the Magic.
So who cares about all that?
Oh.
All of this aside,
if you're going to say the thing I think you're going to say about your favorite team, I was saving that for the next segment.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll save it.
So you got 90 seconds to hit me with something else on the game.
I think
on the game board
seconds.
For today.
You've got 90 seconds.
You are my
to tell
senior
me,
NBA analyst here at the network.
You're my senior ice analyst. Anything in hockey today? Anything worth watching in hockey today? I'm going to a book. I'll have stuff to watch. Anything worth
well,
watching.
Jonathan Davis, our true senior NHL analyst.
Ask for your opinion. I'm going to get Jonathan's, okay?
You are. He was texting me a little bit earlier about Seattle on the second half of back-to-backs.
Okay.
That there is a streak of over 5.5 that has hit in 14 of 15 against Vancouver. So maybe that's an angle to look at here.
The context is Seattle's the initiator
Seattle
there?
Seattle on the second half of a back-to-back.
Yes.
There's a significant overstreak, it appears.
Got it. Okay, all right. Sorry. I got confused with the Vancouver throw.
Sorry,
so they're playing Vancouver, but the trend is Seattle second half of back-to-back. 14
over
of 15 have gone over 5.5. Okay.
So potentially a good angle there on the ice.
Okay, I'm down.
He's got articles up at VSiN.com almost every day throughout the course of the week, breaking down all things in the NHL. We've got a step aside. I was saving this one nugget in the NBA specifically to talk about at the end of the show. JVT is very, very excited about this storyline with the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll be right back.
They're back.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's let JVT get in his bag, get excited, feeling good. For anybody who missed it yesterday, Kawhi Leonard goes absolutely crazy. Mm. Career high, 55 points, leads LA to a win over the East leading Pistons. He was awesome. And now
you're kind of burying the
lead.
You
have hope.
You're kind of burying the lead a little bit here.
Go.
He had 55 points in three quarters.
Yes.
My man was cruising to like 75 if they were not just smoking the Pistons and running them out of the building. They may or may not have also won six out of eight games. You know, or not, excuse me, four straight and covered six out of eight games, read my notes incorrectly. Derek Jones Jr. coming back. I don't know. Might want to watch out.
Are you being serious? Like, is this Clippers team actually turning around? Because they were hot garbage.
It depends on what you mean by turning it around. Are the Clippers better than what they showed when they started the season 6-21? Yes. Are they a team that is going to win an NBA Finals? Absolutely no. They're a team that should be better, that I think might be worth looking at for a make-the-playoffs type ticket. They're not that far out of the final seed in the Western Conference, that being the 10th seed. So could this team, or shouldn't I say could, is this team good enough to find their way into the play-in and then win two games to get into the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I would say yes. I think that is a fair ask of this group right now. And I think that's the only seriousness with which you should take this team. I'm not going to, and I'm sure that I will have this very, you know, nuanced and even-keeled reality about what I am talking about here. And then somebody will tell me that I thought they were great when the truth is, yeah, like, this team's flawed. But I think even the most ardent Clippers hater would tell you they were better than what they showed to start the year. And I think that we'll be in a reality where it's more likely than what we're being told right now that they could make it into the postseason.
And I'll just say, like, riding a four-game win streak right now, depending on what the numbers are, they don't play tonight, but they've got the Kings coming up on Tuesday.
Correct.
And the Jazz on Thursday. Like, this thing could certainly at least continue for the next little bit here.
Well, and it's all part of what is, I believe, a six-game homestand. I think they're going to be at home here all the way until January 7th before they go off on a trip. So, like, the opportunity, to your point, is in front of them. Now, Sacramento, you should be able to circle that as a victory. We've talked about Utah, Keontae George, part of the, you know, if you zoom out a little bit more with Keontae George, the Jazz on any given night are going to be a legitimate threat, as proven by the fact that they are coming, or excuse me, they're riding a two-game winning streak with wins over the Pistons and the Spurs. They went out to San Antonio yesterday, or the other day, I don't think it was yesterday, and got it done. So the Jazz can be a formidable opponent to face as well. But the whole point that I agree with what you're making here, they've won four straight. They're getting started on a homestand with some opportunities to potentially get some victories. Back end of the homestand is a little tough. You got to host Boston. You got to host Golden State. But that's going to be the true test of whether this team is actually going to start to make a push here, mm-hmm. or whether or not, or something else is going to happen. And we should also not ignore with Kawhi, not just 55 points yesterday, although that is very big. He has scored over 30 points in three out of the last four. Mm-hmm. He had 41 the other night just before Christmas against the Houston Rockets. And he has that has all come during this winning streak. So they're really starting to use him a little bit more as a scorer. And I think this is going to be something where, again, can they push for the 10 seed to win two play-in games? I think that's perfectly plausible. After that, do I really expect that they're going to be able to, you know, push Oklahoma City Thunder, maybe beat them if that's the one seed? That's highly unlikely.
Well, and I was just going to say, too, granted, this win streak and the way that they've played lately is a smaller sample size, but the opponents that they've done it against, right, like three of the teams that are top five in the conference right now, the Lakers, the Rockets, and Pistons, I think the caliber of opponent with which they've been able to have this success is an important layer of this that helps you at least think that maybe they really are trending upward moving forward.
And by the way, I should know, I don't think I said the number. Yes is 3-1 on them to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Like, that to me is, I think if you wanted to add, if you're just kind of getting started with the NBA handicapping because it's starting up or whatever it is post-Christmas, I think looking at them to potentially make the postseason is something that's definitely worth looking at for this team. I'd also say, let me look to see exactly what this number is. I haven't looked for a minute. They're -110 to just participate in the play-in. So that's just finished within 7, 8, 9, or 10. I mean, I don't think a lot of people want to lay -110 on what is essentially a season-long bet. But I think the odds should be a little bit higher that they should be able to make it into the play-in. But that's a whole other issue.
Last thing on this, just because I think that these things are fun sometimes. At 34 years and 182 years old, Leonard is the oldest player in NBA history at the time of his first 50-point game.
Wow. Yeah, look at that. Never fun been fact. A scorer, but he is. I mean, man, there is, I'll say, there is nothing like peak Kawhi performance. I mean, he does this every once in a while where you realize, oh, this is why there's always been this eternal hope for people like me, because he'll go out there. It's a series I'll never let go. He'll go out there to Phoenix in a series in which no one thought they were going to win, and he'll go and single-handedly take game one against the unstoppable Suns, and you're like, oh, man, like this guy's great. And then he gets injured the next game, and then they lose the series 4-1. But he's very good. They're a solid team. They're better than what they showed. By the way, really quickly, I know you loved this. J.J. Redick losing the locker room here?
Do we have the clip?
We do not, because we didn't get a high enough quality clip of it. But for those who don't remember, we played post-Christmas J.J. Redick talking about Saturday's practice is going to be hell. And DeAndre Ayton was asked on Saturday.
Remember, he was getting on everybody for their effort. He was like, this is going to be...
It's uncomfortable, I think,
yes,
was the term.
Yes, uncomfortable. Perfect.
DeAndre Ayton was asked if it was uncomfortable, to which he responded with, you guys bought into that? I'm just saying, man, this is going to be interesting.
The ultimate disrespect to your coach. And this is what we talked about, though, that day in particular, is who are you doing this for?
Yep.
Who are you getting up on the podium or the stage, whatever it is, to make these comments and call your team out publicly when you're not actually having those conversations with the people that are the ones that are lacking the effort or not performing on the defensive side of the ball like you want? It's your stars who you're not having the conversation with. You're instead making these public statements that in turn actually do nothing for your locker room.
Snapped the 3-game losing streak yesterday against the Sacramento Kings. Won that game 125-101. Congrats. Everybody does it. So we'll see what happens after that. They get Detroit, Memphis twice, and then they'll have to hit a small road trip, New Orleans and San Antonio. So this will be an interesting stretch for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay, before we look forward real quickly, last couple minutes, let's recap the weekend. What did you end up good, bad weekend for you? How did it go when all was said and done?
Not really particularly great. Came out with a small loser, especially because those ads on Sunday with the Raiders, of course, and the, man, that Titans that Titans teaser is going to get me here.
It's annoying.
That's annoying. But ultimately, for the weekend, the Texans got there, then had that teaser with the Texans and the Titans. Texans as well, plus two. So, ultimately, small loser for the week. Hopefully, we can bounce back.
You did get a live Bryce Young passing
yards
under,
though. We got
two of
them, actually.
So, that was good.
We got the Jags plus 115 when they were down in that game, money line. And then the Carolina Panthers passing performance was not great, and we capitalized on
it. And what's funny, too, is the thought process on the Bryce Young passing was that he might get pulled and just saved for the regular season finale against the Bucks.
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter. He played the whole game, still had 54 yards passing. So
that was bad.
Never in doubt there.
You know what? What was his final average depth of target?
Look that up. Meanwhile, for me, I got a little bit lucky. I laid 4.5 with the Jags. Did not think we were going to get home against the Colts. Ended up pulling it out with the field goal late. Trey McBride, anytime touchdown in garbage time. We got there. Thank you. He, by the way, sets the single season NFL record for receptions by a tight end in a year with 119 for the year. He ended up getting peppered late. And so all the numbers, I think, depended on the yardage number. You ultimately bet with Trey McBride whether or not you got over. But all of the receptions numbers, the anytime touchdown, it came through. And then my teaser on Titans and Rams, still to be determined if I lose this or just get my money back on it, depending on what the Rams do tonight. Titans, I got it right on the 8, which was a buzzkill.
Final average depth of target, would you care to guess, for Bryce Young?
2.5.
1.6.
No! God, it's bad. Anything that you have tonight? Monday Night Football or in the NBA that you're making official?
No, I didn't really have anything. I thought everything was relatively well-priced. Brooklyn, we'll see if the number springs back up to like that 7.5 range. I think they'll be pretty live today. But outside of that, and the lean on Bijan Robinson over on the receptions.
Yeah, and we talked about it earlier. Understand the market movement with a little bit of love for the Atlanta Falcons in the spot, just considering there's not really much going on for the Rams here in terms of what they need. And Atlanta has looked much better, especially on the offensive end. I like I think Puka Nacua is going to have a great day. Do I want to bet over 106.5? Right. Not particularly. Do I want to pay the juice on the receptions? Not particularly. So there wasn't anything that really stood out to me enough to place a bet in this one, with the exception of if maybe you want to look ahead to next week and pair the Rams down as a teaser leg just to win tonight, if that's something that might interest you.
Sure.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm just going to sweat out the last leg of this teaser to see if I can get my money back and not have a losing week.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one of the stronger ones. You can use the Rams and then tee up something next week if you like.
I like doing that. Do you do that? Like, every now and then I do that, and I feel like it's
Rams down, Panthers up.
Let's go. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know if the Panthers should be that big of a dog to this team. Do you?
Market's down to 2.5. What do you think it should be?
Probably 2. I think that it's a...
They're equals to each other?
I think they are exact equals to each other. And I think on the best day, sure, maybe the Bucks would be the better team if you're taking ceilings of both.
I mean, we're going to see a better version of Carolina for sure. I mean, it seems like the game against Seattle was a big step up in weight class. This one is, you're back down to where you should be.
I mean, is Tampa's home field really that valuable? Yeah. I don't think so. That's a wrap for us today. Make sure you come join us again tomorrow. Same time, same place. JBT holding down the fort. Follow the money coming up next with Mitch and Paul.